about.
Today we have a very, very special guest in the studio. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Al, but you can call me Weird Al Yankovic, sir.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
It says on your website that you were a spelling bee winner.
Yes, that is true.
And did that negatively or positively affect your childhood?
Are you kidding me? The girls wanted to have me, and the guys wanted to be me. I was the big man on campus, man. Once you're a spelling bee winner.
And the accordion player as well.
That's right.
So
that's an awesome double punch. 1, 2.
Frank. Sure, you think I'm a big hero, the man of the hour. Well, do any of you understand how a man can hurt inside?
Frank, they're not here for you. Weird Al Yankovic is on the plane.
Al Yankovic blew his brains out in the late 80s after people stopped buying his records.
And now...
suddenly, there's a knock on the door. Well, now, who could that be? I say, who is it? No answer. Who is it? There's no answer. Who is it?
Our feature presentation.
It's going to be like that all day.
Oh, man. It sure the hell is.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah, what?
I love me some Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
He's
say
awesome.
No more.
He's awesome.
Say no more.
Bean might love him too much.
How dare you? Not possible. It's like loving Jesus too much.
Is it?
It's not really the exact same thing.
Chip nailed it when I came in this morning. She said, was it like Christmas Eve for you last night? Could you not sleep because you knew Santa would be there in the morning? I said, yes, Chip. That's exactly what it was like. So
weird Santa.
Look, we've had Al on the program many times over the
years. He's always great. He's always entertaining. I love every time we have him on.
Just so exciting.
Right.
Although
you can
I have
hear
to,
him
yes,
smiling.
You can. Yes, you can.
So exciting! I will tell you though that I am my enthusiasm and excitement is tempered by some pre-sadness, knowing that he will leave at some point. So I'm already a little bit. I'm kind of on
way
the way down.
To ruin the moment already.
Well, when it's 9 o'clock, I won't have Al
right,
to look forward to.
You can deal with that when it's 9 o'clock.
I know, but I'm already kind of worried about it. I'm kind of stressing out about it.
Stop it! Don't be dumb.
I mean, he's practically gone.
Right.
It's almost like he was never here. Anyway, that's coming up. But listen, before we get into that and tell you about today's excellent new Kevin and Bean show, every once in a while you'll see a story. A lot of times it doesn't even make news. It's just, you hear about somebody who has body dysmorphia. And a lot of times, Ali, you might know this, a lot of times it manifests itself into anorexia. That's kind of part of what the anorexics problem is they just don't see in the mirror what the rest of us see, right?
Right.
They look at their bodies and they go, my God, I'm a fat ass, and they weigh 90 pounds. Well, it goes the other direction, too, where people can't get buff enough. And there's a story in the news right now that's making the rounds about a young man, a 25-year-old bodybuilder. His name is Romario dos Santos Alves. He is Brazilian, and he became obsessed with bodybuilding. And I often wonder, sometimes you'll see these guys, down in Venice or someplace, you'll see these guys who have these huge chests and these huge biceps, and I always think, how much work must it be to keep that up?
And how could I go on a date with that guy? Is that what you think?
No.
No. Okay. All right.
There is a point, especially in the world of professional bodybuilding, where it, to me anyway, it just looks grotesque.
Oh,
you don't look fit at some point anymore. You look like a statue.
It gets very cartoonish.
When their waist gets so tiny and then their legs tend to always be really tiny chicken legs. Like they forgot that aspect. It's very weird.
Women can find those kinds of bodybuilders unattractive if they get too buff or too big, right?
Absolutely.
I'm sure, yeah.
So Romario, as I mentioned, is 25 years old, and he is in the news lately because he wanted to look like the Incredible Hulk. So he was doing everything he could in the gym to try to get his biceps as big as possible. And then somebody introduced him to a drug cocktail. He said, I started seeing some big guys in the gym with huge arms. I started to make friends with some of them, and they introduced me to this drug cocktail, and I lost control. and it's some sort of what's it got in it? It's got oil in it, and it's got a bunch of other stuff in it that you inject into your arms.
Is it a steroid?
Oh, that you inject straight into your arm. You inject it straight into your arms, right? So he started using that, and his arms started getting bigger and bigger to the point where his biceps became 25 inches around. Oh. Think about that for a second.
Oh my God!
He said, like a leg.
Bigger than a leg. That's two legs.
Yes. His muscles started to solidify to the point where he couldn't even inject his arms. It's like they were full of rocks.
Gross.
The only thing he could do, he said, was buy specialist needles to inject, the kind of needles that are used on bulls. There are no stronger needles around. I know it seems stupid, but I had to get my fix. He says that it actually became addictive for him.
That isn't good for you.
It's not good for you at all. At one point, he started to trick his wife into injecting him with the oil in places that he could not reach. I told her there was no problem with it, that it left the body after a short time, but soon after she learned the truth, and she made it clear to me that I had to choose between our relationship and the oil. She said if I started using again or anything like it, she will leave me because of what she went through. She said she got depression as a result of it. He got depressed. It really mentally screwed him up. And the reason this story made the news is because at one point he went to the doctor and they were this close to having to amputate his arms.
Oh my God.
They said everything in there, all the muscles were rock. It was either that or cut all of my muscles out. Thank God the doctor told me they did not have to amputate. They could instead remove the muscles from my arms. So now he is in the process of trying to build himself back up naturally and says that he will never inject again. But when you see pictures of this guy, he really does look like the Incredible Hulk. I mean, that's what he was going for. And I would say mission accomplished, but not a good look.
Well, comic book character, first of all, so you don't really want to...
You don't want to look like that at all.
I don't think so.
He did say that part of the problem and part of the addiction, in addition to the physical addiction from the drug, was that the reaction that he would get from so many people. Girls, would want to take him to take his shirt off so they could see his body. Kids would come up and want to get photos taken with him because he looked like the Incredible Hulk. And he said all that fed into it. So it was just one thing after another. But looks like he's going to be okay. And thank God they didn't have to amputate his arms. But this is why I don't work out, you guys.
Yeah, that
was the takeaway for sure.
It's good justification, right?
Yeah.
There.
I mean, you get on a treadmill one time. Next thing you know, you find yourself injecting oils into your muscles.
That's true. So, you don't want that.
I don't want to go down that slippery slope at all.
Yeah.
Well, it's how you're staying the healthiest man alive.
That's right, man.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
He who is tired of Weird Al is tired of life.
All right. We have Weird Al on the show. I don't know if we mentioned that.
That's today.
We're going to talk about you if you have roommates from hell. This seems to be a huge problem. We have Jim Rome talking sports. We have front row tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
Let's find out what Jim Rome thinks should happen to Tom Brady today. Shall we, Allie?
Yes, we should.
Not sure what you're talking about.
How many games should you be suspended?
I would say three. I'm fine with three.
Three?
That's what you come up with?
Yeah.
So one more than Ray Rice got suspended for beating his girlfriend
you're
up in an elevator.
Right. Two.
Five.
One.
All right, three.
MVP.
And also on the show today, we have Would You Like to Take That Back? Which is always good fun. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatdown. Hey! I don't hear anything. Is that bad?
How long are we going to wait? How long are we going to wait?
Long as it took, man.
What is your job?
As long
do
as
do your job
to be there when the song's
when
end.
When the
essentially.
Song's over, you're supposed to begin talking.
Has that ever been made clear?
Many times.
Because I'm not positive that that's part of my job.
You know what you don't do? Walk ahead, Alan. Thanks for the Dr. Pepper, and you're walking around just like a dope. Just pay attention.
Well, you're welcome for it.
I hate to ask this question because I feel like I've asked it before, but maybe I misunderstood. Can we install some sort of a digital timer, some sort of a countdown, so you don't have to actually be listening to the song? You can just watch a clock and know when it gets to zero, you're on?
Okay, yeah. Jules Verne. All right, maybe when they have those head transplants, maybe then we'll talk about that kind of science fiction.
That's imaginary, huh?
Are you crazy? We don't have that kind of technology.
Well, we have
okay.
that.
What?
Yeah, we have that.
You mean that's installed?
Yep.
You mean that's actually operational?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then why are you, Dr. Pepper's good, and you walk around as being a dope?
Not to mention someone who's telling him, hey, Kevin, the song is ending.
You have a personal midget here who tells you how much time left in the song.
I can't hear her voice.
It's too like small. A mosquito?
Yeah.
You start swiping away at it.
That 20-second heads up you get it for every song apparently is not enough.
This is why you fail.
Exactly. Right. Thank you,
Yoda. Well said. Thank you, thank you, Mini Yoda.
Sort of Yoda.
All right. Mini Yoda, even smaller than
Yoda. Like a Yoda time inside the, Yoda's pocket. Sticks his head out once in a while and goes,
this is my voice, I'm Yoda.
That's the voice of Ralph Garman. Yeah. The show is being here on a Thursday morning.
Look what's who's here. Look who's here when the mic is on. Boom! That's how it's done. That's the Chicago way.
It does seem to be basic broadcasting.
Well, you know.
Shut up, Bean.
Well,
fight.
Just saying, you know, Hall of Fame and all.
Yeah.
Although it's this kind of behavior that got you in, so maybe if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess.
Why change now?
Ah, sad news for fans of the Mindy Project. News broke yesterday that Fox will not be picking the show up for a fourth season. And, oh boy, are some women upset. Whoo! Whoo! Fox is in trouble. They're about to be besieged. There's going to be a lot of women carrying Haagen-Dazs and cats who are just going to take down that building.
Women love that show. You're
boy,
right about that,
Ralph. Do you don't even know. Have you seen Twitter lately?
I
have seen it, but
go
I haven't been following it.
Hashtag yeah. Mindy Project. Holy moly. Joss Whedon feels bad for Fox. That's how upset women are with Fox.
Allie, you know women. What are they saying about the Mindy Project?
They are not pleased. They are not pleased at all.
Okay. There's anger and sadness and rampage.
Why would you do this to us? This is a personal affront.
We love and you don't understand and we need and oof.
I do I don't watch the Mindy Project, but I do get bummed out if it's the type of show where you are invested in the characters and want to see where it goes. You do feel a little bit ripped off if there's no conclusion to the story. You're kind of left hanging.
Oh, you know, I'm so mad!
Right? There's another one of those Mindy Project
times
fans.
Times a million, that lady.
Listen, and this is going to sound silly because I'm a person who makes my living in the entertainment industry.
To the entertainment industry.
Well, you know, I'm a satellite.
Right.
And, of course, a lot of my material for this segment and for Hollywood Babylon and things like that are focused on entertainment. But is it possible, as a culture, we're getting too invested in entertainment and fiction?
Yes,
and
it is.
The passion we feel for television and film and radio is a little out of proportion to real life. Is that a possibility?
I agree with you. I am not saying that I am not also guilty of those same emotions.
Oh, you're way guilty.
But I do agree with you. I mean,
that is a very savvy analysis right there.
Well, thank you so much.
I have the channel two news on this morning, as I usually do, and they're spending a lot of time talking about whether Zayn and Lewis are going to patch it up in One Direction, and I'm thinking, you know what? Not really news.
Doesn't
really impact the world or anyone who's watching live.
But you're watching that.
I have the news. I'm trying to get some news, though.
It seems
that's Ralph's point.
In America's history, where Americans were busy going out and doing things and accomplishing having a life, and real life sort of trumped everything else. And then there was, you know, film and entertainment and television and things like that. And that's fine, and it had its place, and everyone enjoyed it. But now it seems like it's a little. People are really flipped out about the Mindy Project being canceled. And I can appreciate it. If you're a fan of that show, I get that you're a little disappointed. But I was looking over Twitter and this news story out of Time Magazine, the level of rage. And just, it's as if it's the fall of Saigon for some people.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Ralph.
Weird. Weird, wacky stuff.
Weird Al Yankovic!
Hey, what's up with Chris Kattan? You remember Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live?
Sure.
He's getting a lot of trouble lately with his behavior. Remember last year he crashed his Mercedes into a parked car while he was under the influence of Ambien, he said, and he was like stumbling around and walking. They thought he was loaded and they arrested him.
I did not recall that, but that's I'm certain.
Yeah, it was
that.
A good time. Well, in the Southwest Airlines terminal last Sunday, Chris Kattan was found stumbling around and mumbling to himself. He told police that apparently he stayed up late the night before and then popped an Ambien and then was desperately trying to find a place to sleep. Well, don't do that at the Southwest Airlines terminal, Chris Kattan.
He's trying to find a place to sleep.
Cops in Phoenix apparently are very nice. They took him to a nearby hotel instead of to jail. Don't fight the Ambien at the Phoenix airport.
Really, any airport.
You ever try to fight the Ambien, man?
No.
That's a good eye. Just fight that Ambien. Just fight it.
I've never even understood
things,
that.
Man. It's awesome. Fight the Ambien. My new teacher.
Did they play this when he walked off? What is love?
I would have given him an apple and say, do that monkey thing you do.
Oh, Mango.
Mango.
No, Mango was the model. What was the monkey boy? There was the monkey boy he used
to do.
Oh,
I think you're right.
Eat the apple really fast.
Mr. Peepers.
Remember? What?
Mr. Peepers.
Mr. Peepers. Yeah, that's
there
it.
There you go.
There you go.
It's fun to watch her jump, isn't it?
It is.
Hey, down there, Mr. Peepers. Can anyone hear me?
The microphone is set for me. I'm 6'2". She's like 3 foot
she's
three.
She's 1 foot.
Yeah.
She's one.
She has to jump to get to it. It's awesome.
It's very fun. I want to give you a heads up. If you, like I, am a fan of Sofia Vergara, she's getting her star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning. 11:30 a.m. She'll be there. Her co-star from Modern Family, Eric Stone Street, will be on hand to pay tribute to her. Steve Levitin will also be there. Levitin, executive producer of that show. Ed O'Neill has his star right next to hers. Isn't that sweet?
That is neat.
So 11:30 a.m. On, apparently it is, let me see, right in front of Marshall's Department Store on Hollywood Boulevard. You can check it out if you're a fan. Speaking of checking...
Sister's got it going on.
She's ridiculous. Speaking of checking things out, it's the return of Hollywood Babylon tonight. Not tonight, tomorrow night. I'm fighting the Ambien.
You are right now.
Tomorrow night, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I, we've been away for a while, but we're coming back to the Improv on Melrose, doing Hollywood Babylon at 10 p.m. tomorrow night. It's been like a month since we've done this. We're looking forward to it. Come out and see us, won't you? Go to improv.com to get more details and to get your tickets. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Hollywood Babylon, me and Kevin Smith. That is awful. Not at all.
Said Ralph about himself.
Says that guy. Today's celebrity birthdays, the captain, Robbie Knievel, 53. He's the captain.
He is.
He sure is.
I think he's in jail.
Yeah, he might be.
For drinking and driving. Brecken Meyer, our good friend, turns 41 years old today. And actress Tracy Lords, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, got her start in the adult industry. And now...
When she was
just
nine.
Just those three movies, though, when she after she turned 18.
After she was 18, that's all she ever did.
Right.
Those no other ones, movies ever existed.
Right.
Mm-mm. Tracy Lords is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Is Al here yet? Have we seen Al? Do we have eyes on Al?
Not yet.
He's not supposed to be here for an hour, dude. An hour. Next hour at this time, Weird Al, but...
Okay. All right.
We have stuff to get through before.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hurry. Let's do whatever
it is. It doesn't help us to hurry.
Then we'll get Allie.
We can't speed up the clock no matter what we do.
I'm on a website right now called survivingcollege.com where college students share their, among other things, there are lots of different kinds of surveys on the site, but the one that I'm on is they share their roommate disasters. It's been a long time since I or you, Kevin, have had to have a roommate beyond family members.
True,
but it is a part of life. Almost all young people at one point have to have roommates in their lives. Here's one from Pamela who says, "Oh, roommates! How many stories could I tell? I could tell you about the roommate who was so OCD that even a single hair that I shed, or even hair that my friends would shed, would make her hate me." That's one. I'll tell you about the roommate who decided it was totally cool to invite her male friend, whom I had never met, from across the country to stay with us for 4 days without asking me, and then leaving me alone to host him by myself. Can
oh
we talk
my
about that?
God.
Here's another one. This is from Steven. He writes in, I had one bad roommate experience after another at college. I had to ask to be transferred out of my dorm room early in my sophomore year because my ex-friend roomie tried to kill me in the middle of the night, literally. Wow. That's about as bad as it gets for a roommate when he tries to kill you, right?
Short of actual killing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was placed in a new dorm with roommates I'd never met before. The guy I shared a room with made it clear that when I moved in that not only did he smoke weed at least 10 times per day out of a bong as tall as he was,
so that's
that he
a
also
win.
He also sold marijuana and other illicit substances out of his desk drawer. I cannot tell you how many times I pretended to be doing homework or taking a shower to avoid looking at the characters sitting on my bed waiting for their drugs to be siphoned into baggies. We also had a sweet mate who had a rare degenerative eye disorder that made him able to see only out of the corners of his eyes.
Is this all one guy?
This is two different people I'm telling you about. This meant that when he spoke to you, he had to look at something next to your head instead of directly at it, making for a confusing conversation.
That's rough.
And finally, did I mention that both were music students and thought of themselves as DJs, meaning there was never a time when techno music was not playing in the suite? That is that's a combination right there between the weed, the guy with the honked up eye, and then the nonstop 24-hour techno music. That's a roommate experience to be beaten.
It can be college roommate. It can be just roommate after college, whenever. But they're not good people. And we have a story out of South Carolina as well.
Yuck. Police say a University of South Carolina student admitted spitting and pouring chemicals into food belonging to her two roommates after being caught on a hidden camera in their off-campus apartment. Haley King is facing felony charges.
Felony charges.
Ugh. Well, Windex.
Windex. I don't know the science of that, but it sounds like that could really be super detrimental to your health, right?
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. She was brought up on charges of unlawful, malicious tampering with human drug product or food. If convicted, up to 20 years in prison.
Wow.
That seems a little rough. But I don't know what kind of damage, you know, putting drugs in can do.
Yeah.
You say it was Windex? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to open up the phone lines. It's been a long time since we've done this topic. I know that our listeners have had horrible roommate experience. This is your chance to vent. Tell us all about it. 1-800-520-1067. Maybe somebody out there lived with beer mug. I don't know. We'll find out. Give us a call. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We are taking your calls right now on roommate disasters. A lot of people calling who had bad college experience. Some people living with those roommates now. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Hopefully not as bad as the story we saw on the news this week about the woman who was putting Windex in her roommate's food that could end her up in prison for 20 years. Yes. Who do you want to start with today, Kevin?
Let's start with Robert in Covina. Hi, Robert.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. Roommates
What's
from hell.
Bad roommates.
Hey, by the way, we forgot to say if you were a bad roommate, you could also call. Tell on yourself. All right. Go ahead, Robert.
I think all bad roommates think they're a good roommate, right?
Yeah, probably.
So, well, my current roommate, I swear to you guys, every morning I have to look out for that, you know, that morning floater in the toilet.
Oh.
I don't know if it's a habit or if it's a joke, but, yeah, a couple times a week I have to kind of just walk into the, I have to creep into the restroom.
Yeah.
So, you just get in the habit of just flushing the toilet before you use it every day, I bet.
I flush it, like, twice.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
I didn't want to go to that one first, Beach.
Great morning topic. That's why you don't let Kevin choose.
No,
but thank you for the call, Robert. We appreciate it.
Beermug wrote up that it was the other one. Beermug wrote it up. It didn't say floater.
No, I got you.
How dare you?
Let's try Christian in San Pedro, please. Line one on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Christian.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Good morning.
Hi. Roommates from hell?
Yeah. So my roommate had a little bit of an OCD problem, I would say. He's a real clean freak. Which was fine, you know. We kept the house clean and whatnot. His problem was, say I would leave a dish or two in the sink, he'd take a picture of the dishes in the sink to remind me that the dishes were there waiting for me when I got home.
So wait, he would take a picture of the dirty dishes and then text you?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And how'd that work out?
I was at work or at school, and then he'd be there right there. He would send it. These are waiting for you when you get home, by the way.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I guess
thank you for the call.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree because his dad had the same problem as well. Yeah, his dad owned the house, and we had a dog. His dad would take a picture of the fecal matter in the backyard.
What is happening? How does every call go to poop?
Go to poop.
Stop it, everyone.
Thank you, Christian.
Yuck.
Going back to survivingcollege.com, Brittany writes in, I have more terrible roommate stories than I know what to do with. My first roommate used to leave me passive-aggressive post-it notes and acted like she was my mom. I moved out of the dorm and into a room with another friend who walked around completely naked half the time. I wish I was kidding. We were best friends and all, but it was always so awkward. One day I walked in on her and her boyfriend having sex. Once they were finished, she got up and started walking around the apartment. He told her to put clothes on. She said, it's okay. Brittany doesn't care. I totally did. Ah, I hate that when girls just walk around naked all
doesn't
the time.
Doesn't that drive you crazy?
The worst.
So frustrating. All right, let's go to Matt in Anaheim Hills. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, so I had this
I had this roommate in college last semester, and I transferred out of him. But he apparently had bipolar disorder, and he was addicted to Molly.
Nice.
So those kind of combated each other, and he would basically scream at everybody and everyone, and made girls cry every single day. I couldn't be around him. I had to go move into my friend's apartment and sleep on his couch for the whole semester.
Wow.
That's a tough one, because if he really did, you know, if it was a mental issue, you got to have some sort of sympathy for him. But I can understand why it made for a pretty difficult living situation for you as well. That's tough, dude.
Yeah, and he was delusional, and we tried to talk to him about it, but he didn't think anything was wrong. So it was
He lived his life making girls cry every day. Bean, anything?
How dare you?
Ring true here?
Suggesting?
I'm just suggesting.
Thank you for the call, sir. Let's go down to Riverside, please. Ed is on line 7. He's next.
Right. Hey, Ed.
Morning, gentlemen. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Ed.
It's actually a buddy of mine. A couple of years ago, moved in into my house. He was such a pig and so disgusting that he would leave his plates in the sink until they get moldy. My cleaning lady did not want to clean his room. That's how bad it was. Mm. She told me either fire me or pay me less, but I will not go in there.
I love that. I love drawing the line in the sand. This job is good, but I'm out.
And what's it called? After he moved out, I tried to air out his room with deodorant for a week. It did not work. I had to actually paint the walls again to get that smell out.
That's a dirty room when you've got to paint the walls. Wow.
The funny thing is, we're still good friends. But he will not leave with me again. Okay.
Yeah. You made the right call there. Thank you, sir. Denise writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, a friend's roommate in our dorm collected his urine in bottles in the dorm room because he was afraid of public bathrooms.
Oh, no.
That's not what you want,
no,
right?
No, 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 no.
All right, let's go to Jessica, Los Angeles, up next, line 4. We're talking about terrible roommates. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I had a roommate I found on Craigslist, and she was totally normal for about the first 2 days and then became totally crazy. The whole situation lasted about 3 weeks. I went to work the day she moved out, and when I came home, she had moved out not only her furniture, but took mine with hers as well.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Wow. Did you have any way to track her down, or did you just lose all that stuff?
Yeah, no forwarding address or the month's rent.
Wow.
So roommates on Craigslist, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to go down.
Down.
Really.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, it's good.
Thank you for the call, Jess. Appreciate that. Oh, this is a good one, Kevin. You'll love Mark. He's in Studio City.
What line?
3.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Barter people?
What happened, dude?
So a few summers ago, I just recently moved into this large house with 4 other roommates. My girlfriend was coming to visit for the first time from out of town. And we went to a music festival that night. It was really late. It was probably like 2 or 3 in the morning. We get back and I go to open the door and I peek in and I'm like, whoa, God. And she's like, what is it? And I open the door and everybody's like naked or either half naked and bras and panties and all just super drunk, super raging.
All right, when do you get to the bad roommate part of the story, though?
Well, when you're bringing your girlfriend there and you just moved in there and it was one of those situations where it's not what it looks like, but it was like exactly what
it is
like.
What it looked like.
It was 100% what it looked like.
But you can judge her immediately. You can go, okay, I want to spend the rest of my life with this girl, or are you out? Based on that.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely, I had to end up moving out.
Mm.
Like, by the end of the month, it was that bad.
I'm trying to find a way to feel sorry for you, and it's not coming to me. I don't...
Too many hot chicks were naked all the time, and I didn't
I walked into my apartment, and there's all these girls I don't know running around in their bras and panties. How am I going to live in that environment?
No, let's just say there was not only girls, but there was also probably grandpas and all kinds of... It was beyond what you would expect.
Did you say grandpas?
You said grandpas.
Yeah, there was.
What do you think was going on there? Do you think this was some sort of a sex for money party, or what was happening?
No, it was just a rager. Like, tell everybody come and just whatever. I mean, I only was there for 3 weeks, And they've had, like, little kickbacks and little get-togethers, but nothing ever like that. So it was definitely above and beyond anything that... And the best part was that we just got back from that music festival, so I was still very trippy.
That is a night to remember, my friend. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
Almost.
Our next guest has been one of my idols entire life. Grammy-winning, platinum-selling recording artist, a musical icon. It's Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al! Where's Al? I don't see Al.
He's in the other room.
He's in the building, but we're doing showbiz.
We're chatting in the office there. He's looks great.
Why
he's got the facial hair back, you know? And for me, that's my Al. That's the OG Al that I sort of was born and raised on. You know, when he shaved, he looked good. He's a handsome fella.
Right.
But there's something about the facial hair, the mustache especially, it just screams Al to me.
Does that make him more your Al than Bean's Al?
I don't know.
Because you guys
I'm with Al. I'm with Ralph on that. That's my Al as well. And I still miss his glasses, I have to be honest. The LASIK was a disappointing day for me to see Al lose his trademark glasses.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think we all mourned that day. I mean, it was a moment of national crisis, I think.
It was like when Drew Carey lost all that weight. He just wasn't the same. You know what I mean?
I can't see right now, but I'm guessing Al is walking out.
running if he has any wherewithal at all.
Running with scissors if I know Al.
Oh,
holy
name
crap.
Of one of his albums.
Yeah, got it.
Hey, Mr. Yankovic joins us after the top of the hour for some reference to the showbiz beat on a Thursday, or as I like to call it, Al Day.
I'm going to do Al a big favor, and I'm just going to do an extra long showbiz beat.
No. Just hit the highlights, and then just let's move on.
Give him a chance to make a clean getaway.
20 minutes ago, Bean said, "Well, let's hurry up."
No, as if... making the show go faster would make Al get here faster.
Well, he's here. Let's do it. Come on. Chop, chop.
Take your time, Ralph.
Eat it,
Ralph. Nice leisurely showbiz.
Eat it, Ralph. Oh,
that doesn't
Bean.
Even make sense.
Damn,
it's
you right
a...
to hell. Do your thing.
So.
Now.
It turns out there's a story.
Yes,
faster. In the news.
Uh-huh.
Faster. About...
right.
Television.
Oh, TV, good. I like stories like that.
Many shows these days are being canceled. Others
are not being canceled.
Are being renewed.
Oh, yeah.
By the networks. You'll be happy to hear that the BBC America said Orphan Black is coming back for yet another season.
Sweet.
You're starting to hear the news. Pro and con for a lot of shows. The Mindy Project has been canceled, however. A lot of people upset about that. A lot of women.
Now, is it true what I see, Ralph, that there's a possibility that Hulu may resurrect the show and keep it going?
Just going to get to the fact.
Sorry?
That
sorry?
Bean really is in a hurry to get through the showbiz news. However, Hulu has announced.
Okay, you covered that. Move on.
They are in talks with Universal Television, the studio behind the Mindy show, and they are... thinking about moving the Fox comedy over to their streaming service for multiple seasons. So fans of the Mindy Project may not be disappointed after all. They may get more Mindy over on Hulu.
That would be interesting, Ralph.
In cinema, Kevin.
Yes. Ralph.
Some movies.
Come on.
Right. Are good?
Are good.
I don't know where you're going. All right, that's the show business.
Nope. I got a lot of stuff to talk about here. Congratulations to Avengers Age of Ultron. It just crossed the $700 million mark globally in terms of its box office.
It's been out less than a week.
Here in North America, but it's been out overseas for a couple weeks. But still, $700 million, pretty strong. Now, here's the thing. Age of Ultron did not break the opening weekend record of the Avengers. We talked about that, but it is on pace to best, ultimately, the amount of money brought in by the first film. So, ultimately, they say it will top the $1.5 billion worldwide that the Avengers made. This, they say, is on pace to make much more than that. Maybe closer to $2 billion by the time it's all said and done.
Wow. It's pretty strong.
That is pretty strong indeed.
Which movie do you think was the better of the two, Ralph?
Well, here's the thing. You can't ever recreate the novelty and the excitement about having those superheroes gather together for the first time. The Avengers will always be sort of a groundbreaking moment in comic book movies. So
You can never recapture that phenomenon. So for that reason alone, I think the first one will always be more special to a lot of people, including myself.
But when it's
but
that,
I thought this movie, I thought the second one was great.
Same. If you love the first one, you don't want this next one to fall. You know, you want it to be as strong.
And
it really was.
It didn't disappoint me
yeah,
at all.
It was really good.
I really enjoyed it. But there was something about seeing them get together initially for the first time and fighting each other. Like, this is like a comic book dream come true.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
What was your favorite part?
Well, Kevin, there was a moment.
Okay, let's move on to another story
of
now.
Ultron.
Mr. Yankovic is in the next room.
I don't think you understood that.
He's in a rush. This Oculus VR, finally we have a release date. It's going to be out early next year. Virtual reality, boys and girls. You put a helmet on, and you'll just climb inside whatever you're doing right there.
What?
Is that the official? What was that? Is that the official explanation?
It's down at the general store, across the pickle barrel. When we talk about it, you know, it's virtual reality. You put the headset on, and if you're playing a game, you're in the game. Like if you're playing Chip in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
You're just kicking her in the shin over and over and over
again.
Can't
get away.
It'll be like you're in that game. You'll be wearing the headset. You'll be actually in the game.
That would be so sweet.
I watched Kevin play Chip in Mortal Kombat in the office, and all he did was kick her in the shin.
Low kick.
For like 20 minutes, and he kept winning over and over and over again.
It wasn't even sweep the leg. It was just a low
kicking
kick.
In the shin.
And she was trying to block, and she couldn't. We got stuck in this run, and it was like, boop, 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 boop.
You crushed her by kicking her shins.
Worst kick there is.
Never seen that before. Chip does not have a black belt, I've decided. this company was purchased by Facebook last year for $2 billion.
Wow.
That's what they paid for the Oculus VR company. And the headset is still in development, but apparently it will be out early next year. Now, here's the thing. While it's being delayed in its development, other companies have developed their rival technology.
Oh.
HTC's helmet, the Vive.
The Vive.
V-I-V-E. Will be out first, and it'll be available for the lucrative holiday gift-giving season. And each one works through a PC rather than a gaming console. And Sony's Morpheus helmet will be designed to be paired with its PlayStation 4 console. So Oculus will not have cornered the market on virtual reality by any stretch of the imagination by the time it finally comes out.
I hope this is as big as Google Glasses were.
Yeah, that was kind of a dud, wasn't it? But I think virtual reality will become a thing for sure.
I do too.
If you can play that, amazing. If you can play a game, you know, with that technology going on, why would you do it otherwise?
Yeah, it's cool.
Even movies and stuff like that. That'll be like Dave will only go to see movies in virtual reality when that comes out. Dave jumps on whatever the latest technology is, and that's it for him. Oh, don't have I'm not watching that. It's not in high def. He won't watch television.
It's not
in high def, and he won't go to see movies that aren't now in IMAX or 3D. Yeah. Or now laser vision or whatever the hell the
technology
new thing
he's
got. He's a hipster is what he is.
He's a hipster.
And I also think beyond
his gloves and his laser movie show.
Beyond gaming, though, Ralph, don't you think that there will be an Oculus Rift experience that people would be able to enjoy? I mean,
all right, Bean, go ahead. Tell us what you want.
No, this isn't about robot sex.
You're having robot
sex
with
robots.
Videos.
No. I'm saying if you're living in Cleveland in a little one-bedroom apartment looking over the dirty river, you could put the Oculus helmet on or whatever, and all of a sudden you're on a beach in Hawaii, and it feels like that. I'm saying there's going to be a lot of other ways to kind of use it that are going to be fun beyond gaming.
I rented the Dirty River.
It doesn't sound good. It's not a good film.
A young lady with a stomach disorder.
Ralph.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
two girls, one Dirty River, I think it was called. Can you imagine being with an Oculus headset?
No.
And then
you got to leave the house now.
Oh, can you imagine if he just could slip inside the world of internet porn? Forget about it.
Why do you go there? I was just thinking I could go to Denny's without leaving my house. That's all I was thinking. Here's the thing, though.
Dirty, it wouldn't be the Oculus. We'd be calling it something else if Bean had it. But I was thinking. That's what I was making an allusion to.
Yeah.
It's probably better you didn't say it.
I wouldn't be able to say it on the radio.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep that to myself. Where it belongs. Right here. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, by the way, I just want to give you a quick mention. Kevin Smith, you know my good buddy Kevin Smith, he and I do this show called Hollywood Babylon. Now, we haven't done it for a long time, but we're bringing it back to the Improv on Melrose tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood. We'd love to have you come and join us.
Now, Ralph, I know that you put a lot of work into this. You write ahead of time. What kind of stories are you going to be covering?
Well, Kevin,
I'm glad you asked. We don't have time to talk about that.
We prepared a lot of material for Hollywood Babylon.
Go see it tomorrow night.
We do shout-outs to people who come out or celebrating special occasions or coming from long distances.
Oh, that's nice.
We read listener emails, and then we do recurring segments. I have a musical segment where I sing a popular 80s song as Arnold Schwarzenegger. A lot of fun elements to Hollywood Babylon. People really seem to enjoy it. So if you'd like to come see me and Kevin Smith on stage tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
Tomorrow night at 10.
10 p.m.
Okay.
You can go to improv.com. That's IMPROV.com.
And then negative.
The www before that?
Well, you can if you want, okay. Sure. There's a long list of improvs throughout this great United States of ours. You would click on the Hollywood Improv.
And then
that'll bring up that calendar, and then you would click on Hollywood Babylon there, and then it would give you your choice of upcoming shows. You click on the 8th, which would be tomorrow night, and then you can buy your...
I give up. I think we should move on to our next guest.
You can buy your tickets that way. Today's celebrity birthdays. Brecken Meyer is 41 years old. Tracy Lord celebrates her 47th birthday. Robbie Knievel, the captain, son of Evil, is 53 years old today. Remember when Bean's nickname was Son of Evil?
It's not still.
That's right. Coming up next, do we have anything coming up next on the show here?
Weird Al Yankovic!
Oh, that's right. Weird Al, stick around. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Are you ready for Weird Al Yankovic?
Indeed, always a thrill when the best human ever joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is in studio with us live right now on K-Rock. Hey, Al, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Bean. Thanks for asking.
What have you been up to, man?
Oh, nothing. No, we're getting ready for the mandatory world tour, so we've been practicing with a band and getting the bubble machine cleaned up and getting all ready to go.
Getting all those Hawaiian shirts in a row.
Yeah, all dry cleaned.
You took some time off from touring, right? You skipped a year.
Yeah, last year I decided that I would kind of like let the ground be fallow so people could miss me a little bit. And instead I put out an album and did some stuff like that. And now we're back with a vengeance for the tour.
With a vengeance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we mean business. We're mad. We're angry.
By the way, you say that it sounds like you're joking, but this looks to me like one of the biggest tours you've ever done.
It probably is. I don't know date-wise if it's going to wind up being the biggest tour, but I mean, it's you know, in the past when we said world tour, we were being sort of facetious, and this time it kind of is a world tour. I mean, 90% of the dates are North America, but we're doing Sweden and Belgium and Denmark and the UK and pretty much all over the place.
Are there places in the world that you are surprised are crazy for you?
You know, every now and then I'll get an email or I'll read on Twitter like somebody from like some little pocket of the world that I barely knew existed. You know, they're, oh, we love you here in, you know, North Guam or whatever.
What was the it's funny that excuse me,
it's funny that you've been around. Voice. How sweet would this be?
Would it be funny if I couldn't talk during this half hour segment?
Weird, I love you. I love you a lot. I love you.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
But when you come into the show, Bean tortures us. I mean,
I wouldn't call it torture. I just get excited.
We're on the receiving end, and I would.
Al, you've been around so long that I can ask you this question. What was the status of Weird Al Records in the Soviet bloc countries back in the day?
The status of Weird Al Records in the Soviet bloc countries?
Yeah.
Thank God you had your voice for that one.
My question is, you know, we always hear about the artists that managed to get through the blockade. You know, they tried to keep all the Western music out. I'm wondering if yours was among those records that people got. Did you ever hear from Russian fans?
No, I think they kept me out pretty well. I think they did a really good job of that. So kudos to them.
What are you going to change up on this tour? You know, anytime you get to the size of a catalog that you have, you can't do them all anymore.
No. And this tour is very different from my other tours because on all my other tours, we didn't play anything from Mandatory Fun. And we thought this time we would.
On the Mandatory Fun tour?
Yes.
Interesting. That's a choice.
Yeah.
But you have to play certain songs.
No, yeah.
What is it where they'll burn the place down if you don't?
You know, as much as we try to make the tours different from tour to tour, about half the set list has to stay the same.
Has to.
I mean, yeah. We got to do Amish Paradise and Fat and Eat It and Yoda and Smells Like Nirvana and White and Nerdy and, you know, all the hits. And so we do that and the new stuff and a few deep cuts for Bean and people like that.
How do your songs age for you? Like, what's your relationship like when you do those early numbers now? Do you still enjoy them? Do you still find they're funny? Or is it just a job at that point?
Well, you know, they're funny. They're intellectually funny. It's not hard to me to stop laughing when I'm doing them because I've done them 1,000 times. But I still enjoy playing them. I mean, as long as the audience is still into it, it's still fun for me.
Mandatory World Tour, by the way, begins on May 12th, which is coming up fast. You're doing 5 nights at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. Is that unusual for you to do 5 nights in one city?
It is. You know, we've done a lot of shows in Vegas before, but they've been one-offs. So this is I'm not sure whether to call this a mini residency or a sound check. Because it's the beginning of the tour,
sort of both.
It'll be fun. It'll be nice to be in the same place for 5 nights in a row at the beginning of the tour because there's always a lot of stuff that changes in the first few shows because you know I put the show together in a vacuum and you never know how comedy's going to go over until you're in front of an audience. So the first couple shows are like, okay, that didn't work. Okay, this could be better. This, you know, the pace.
So
will
those
be better.
People are suckers. The people that come to those shows
do not come to the first two shows. unless you like Flop Sweat. If you like Flop Sweat, come to the first show.
Good.
Have you ever thought about, Al, what so many artists have done, which is put a residency in Las Vegas so they don't have to travel? Just let the fans from around the world come to you.
It's not entirely up to me. You know, if they wanted to have me there for an extended time, that's something I definitely consider. Yeah, I always am envious of those people in Vegas that can go, all right, dinner's over. 3 o'clock, it's time to go on stage. And they walk on the stage and do the show.
Yeah.
And they're not nervous about it. It's just a very, like, you know, it's just part of the routine. I thought, oh, you know, I'm so nervous before every show. It'd be nice
Are
to
you
be
still?
So. Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly like at the beginning of a tour because, again, there's so many things that could go wrong. Once I'm kind of in the groove, it's a lot easier. But, yeah, there's still a certain amount of nerves for every show.
That's interesting. You know, we just always assume that people who are pros who have been doing it for a long time, you know, they've got that part licked.
Well, some people, you know, I see interviews with, like, Patrick Stewart, like, I never feel more comfortable than when I'm on the stage. Like, really? Really? Because I don't. I do not.
Do you just have a lot of elements when you tour, too? You have video and everything else.
It's a traveling circus. I mean, that's one of the reasons it's hard to do a world tour, because it's hard to fly fat suits overseas.
Sure.
And, you know, all the props and the costumes and the big screen, you know, LED monitors. It's a multimedia show. Bean can attest to. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on all the time.
I've forced so many of my friends to go see Al, either with me or in their cities
around
the world.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if that's what it takes. And I always try to tell them that no matter what you think the Weird Al show is going to be, it's so much better than that because of the multimedia elements and all of the costume changes and all the, you know, all the video screens and everything. I mean, it is an amazing production. By the way, Al is going to be playing Southern California. He is going to be at the Greek on September the 19th. What's the status of ticket on sales right now? They're on sale everywhere all
they
over.
They are on sale. You can get through WeirdAl.com or any place that sells concert tickets. And, the Greek sales are going pretty well, but there are still definitely some left, and that'll be the last show in North America. After that, we take a big 2 days off, and then we head to Europe.
Wow.
Are you skipping Seattle?
Sorry?
You're skipping Seattle?
No.
That would be funny.
That would be the best.
We should cancel that one date.
Yeah, just cancel.
We're playing, I think, the Puyallup Fair. I don't mm-hmm. – do you know Bean?
Yes, that's exactly the plan.
You know
Bean.
Yeah.
Yes. I've seen Al twice there before at the Puyallup Fair, by the way, and it goes crazy. My wife says she's never been – with the exception of your show, she's never been to a show where so many people know so many words to the songs. And that must be weird for you to hear those songs being sung back to you so often.
It's pretty great because they don't need a teleprompter. I just look out in the front row and everybody's like mouthing along, so it helps out.
Weird Al Yankovic is here on the Kevin and Bean Show September 19th at the Greek Theater. Listen to this. We're going to give away two pairs of tickets to Weird's show.
So what?
Those are two pairs you don't have to worry about selling, okay. Al, because we're going to take care of those right now.
We're call taking right now money at, out of your pocket right this second. That's how we
call
roll.
Right now at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 and 21. You will win tickets to see the great Weird Al at the Greek on September 19th. We've got plenty more questions for Al when we return right after this on camera. Our friend Weird Al Yankovic in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tickets still available at the Greek Theater on Saturday night, September the 19th, as part of the Mandatory World Tour 2015. Go see Al. You'll have a great time. We're going to talk about his guest-edited issue of Mad Magazine here in a moment. But Ally McKay just brought up something that made it get weird in here. Ally, what are you looking at online right now?
Weird or amazing? It's something called Tight and Nerdy, the first and only all Weird Al-inspired burlesque troupe.
Yeah. What do you know about that, Al?
Were you aware of this?
I was aware of it. Okay. There have been a couple of burlesque troupes around the country that do Weird Al-inspired shows. I guess women stripping or doing some sort of routine to my music.
With only your music. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's incredible. By the way, they have a Facebook page, and you can ask for Tight and Nerdy to come to your town.
So. Or your living room, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow. Al, do you endorse this? Are you cool with this? Does it make you uncomfortable?
I'm not officially connected with it in any way, but... But I absolutely endorse it. Why not?
It is funny that they should legally have to ask you to do it with your history of using other people's songs and now you always
glass houses and all. Yes,
I'm looking at a burlesque tribute to Weird Al that is it's called Weird Gal Yankovic. I'm looking at that one.
Who'd have thought there'd be competing Weird Al burlesque shows?
How extravaganza!
That is the strangest thing. All right, let's talk about your Mad Magazine. Now, Mad Magazine, I have to be honest, like many people, I read a ton as a kid. But then I kind of fell away from it, and I guess I wasn't aware, Al, until you guest edited this current issue, that the thing is still up and running and still going strong.
It is still out there. I mean, Mad Magazine has been around since 1952. Yeah, I was obsessed with it as well. Like when I was like 11, 12 years old, it was my whole life. I subscribed to it, obviously. I would bother my friends and relatives to try to go through their attics and garages for back issues. I mean, it was like everything to me.
It strikes me as your Bible.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I when I was 12 years old, I told my guidance counselor in school that I wanted to be a writer for Mad Magazine when I grew up, and he said, "No, why don't you do something more like an adult would do?" You know,
what was it about Mad? Is it that it seemed like it was just smart, or it was funny, or it was adult, and that was the appeal?
It was funny. It was irreverent. I mean, when I was 12 years old, there was nothing else like that around anywhere. It was like this subversive thing, being distrust of authority figures. And just the wild cartooning and the writing, it just struck a responsive chord with me.
Tell me about 12-year-old Weird. Tell me about that kid.
Lady Slayer, for starters.
Yeah, you heard White and Nerdy, so there's a you get some idea there. Yeah, I was, when I was 12 years old, I was in high school. For one thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I was, because I skipped a grade and I started kindergarten early, so I graduated when I was 16, 12 years old. I'm a freshman in high school. So that was a little fish out of water there, for one thing.
Sure. Wow, that sounds miserable.
It was not the greatest.
And you got to remember, Al is just old enough to have missed the internet, so all you had was network TV, essentially, to look at. And I guess that makes sense. There wouldn't have been anything anywhere near what Mad Magazine was doing on regular television back then.
No, I mean...
It was a totally different attitude.
Very, very much so. I mean, network TV was sort of bland. I mean, but it certainly didn't have the sensibility that Mad Magazine did. That just was a whole new world to me.
I was fascinated with one of the features that you put is called Pages from Weird Al's Notebook. And basically what you talk about in this feature is that you have to throw away a lot of ideas before you select the ones that you do that end up making it on the record.
Right.
And this is kind of like I assume it's kind of a parody of what your sketchbook would look like, although I would be surprised if some of these were actually real at one time or not.
Full disclosure, I think one or two of those ideas were ones that I kind of actually did consider.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Most of them are bad on purpose, but they're similar to ideas that I would be like jotting down, like, because you don't have any filter when you're like coming up with ideas. You're like every single variation on a theme or rhyme, you write it down, and then you go through it later and figure out that 99% of them really suck.
They do say that there's no bad idea, but that's false.
No, that's totally totally
that's,
untrue.
That's really untrue. We found that
I
out here.
I feel like moves like Shatner might have worked, though.
You think?
I think there's something there.
Let me see. One idea that Al had that he discarded was a parody of Take Me to Church. It's like Hozier wrote the song just so I could do my long-awaited Addams Family homage, Take Me to Lurch. Okay, I can kind of see why that one didn't work. Let's see. 50 Ways to Lose Your Liver. I know that probably seemed like a good idea at one time. How about When a Man Loves a Donkey, Al? What went wrong with that one?
That's got everything.
Everything you could possibly want. Cross-species breeding? I mean, that's big with the kids.
And Kevin, one for you. My Fart Will Go On was briefly an idea that Al had, too.
Anytime you replace heart with fart, it's comic gold. It's gold.
It's just instant comedy.
There's a whole album waiting for you there. Over Over Lonely Fart, Don't Go Breaking My Fart, Total Eclipse of the Fart. Oh, my God, it is a gold mine.
What do you think the Soviet bloc in the 80s would have thought of that?
You know, that was number one on the list. Do not let the wind out get through.
He made a fart joke.
Mad Magazine is on newsstands now, by the way. The guest editor, Weird Al, is on the cover as well. And by the way, do you get like the original picture of that they made for this cover to hang in your house?
Not the original, but they're making me a very nice print.
That's you with Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
The two best Owls of all time.
Could I go back in time and tell the 12-year-old me that I'm on the cover of Mad? That's just insane.
Or your guidance counselor.
Yes.
Yeah. Suck it.
Right? He's dead now, so I showed him.
Wow. Awkward.
You can't
Sorry
even flaunt
that.
It. That's sad, sort of.
I think you won that round, Al.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you want to talk to us about before you go, Al? Because unfortunately, we're almost out of time.
Oh, there's so many things, Bean. I'm all kerfluffle. I have no idea.
That's a no. Very funny unboxing the Grammy video.
Oh, thank you.
That was for reals? That was the actual first time you opened the box?
Well, you know, you only get one take at that. So, yeah, that was the first and only take.
How many Grammys you got now, Al?
Oh, so many. I mean, I have four. Let's go with four.
That's nice. If you haven't seen this video, Al unboxes his Grammy as it arrives, and they spelled your name right and everything.
They did. Very happy about that.
And then he just very casually just throws it onto the pile with all the rest of it. What the hell? What are you going to do? All right. We can't let you leave without asking. When we had you in last year and you talked about how Mandatory Fun, and by the way, congratulations again on its phenomenal success. Your first ever number one album. You won the Grammy for it.
I have to say, last time I was here was during release week, and I was kind of battling it out. It was neck and neck for the number one position. And I definitely got the Kevin and Bean bump. So I think that helped?
I think
of it as our number one album,
frankly. Thank you, Al. We appreciate that.
Okay. You just made our life miserable for the rest of time.
But when we talked to you at that time, Al, you said, you know, you loved the album and you had a great relationship with your label, but you were done. You were an unsigned artist for the first time in 32 years.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, now I don't feel constricted now. If I don't want to make an album, I don't have to. Now I can just, you know, put out a single while it's hot. I don't have to wait. Have you given any more thought to that? Is anything on the horizon?
I'm not going to be doing anything, I think, until after the tour, but I think that's still the way I want to go. I mean, I've gotten some very nice overtures and some very nice offers from my record company and other companies, and I just like the feeling of not being encumbered or owing anybody anything or having any expectations. I like the freedom, so I think I'm going to go with that for a while.
That is going to be great for you to be able to have an idea that you love and be able to write, record it, and put it out in a week if you want.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Al, I'll see you on tour, man.
Sounds great.
Mandatory World Tour 2015. Come to the Greek Theater on Saturday, September 19th. Buy your tickets right now at WeirdAl.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the legend himself. Stopping by on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks, Al.
Thank you.
106.7 Rock is KROQ.
Don't laugh, you guys. I'm actually sad. I'm really, really sad. I feel like the sun has dimmed a little bit now that Al has left the room.
That's right. I sent you the porn parody of his movie UHF, so you'll be getting that in the mail.
I'm not interested in that at all.
Sweet.
I'd like to keep my
Al's a girl in it.
Not interested. I like my
Perfect
Al the way,
world, Bean.
Perfect world the way Al Bean. Is. Nope. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. It's time for a little feature we like to call Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
This is basically the equivalent of the defendant who has already been convicted standing up in front of the judge and finding out what his punishment is going to be, right? Whether it's going to be the death penalty or you're going to be allowed to leave.
No, not at all. This is your appeal process.
It could go either way.
This
yeah.
is where you get to walk out a free man or you spend time in the hoosegow.
Okay. All right. Well, let's find out what kind of crimes have been committed, Kevin. Who's up first?
The first crime is committed by Allie, and this was done, I think, right after we did Would You Like to Take That Back the last time. So, like, 5 minutes after.
So she's not learning her lesson from the system, is
what you're correct.
Saying.
That's correct. So Ralph is talking about giving away some tickets to a movie.
James Howlett.
I don't know.
Oh, this was a little bit of a tough one. Usually he's known by the name of Logan. We're talking about the Wolverine. The Wolverine.
Because Howlett, you howl like a wolf. Good night, everybody.
Starting to file over right now.
Yep. How about that? She's pulled her drawer out. She's not even dumping files in.
We can't even give us just a breath after the last one. So.
Would you like to take that back?
Here's the thing. I will now always remember that Wolverine's real name is James Howlett, which will help me when
and
I'm
yet,
on Jeopardy.
Would you like to take that back? Mm-hmm.
You know Wolverines don't howl, though, right?
I
you
do
know that?
Realize that okay. Because I was thinking of
would you like to take that back?
Yeah.
Yeah!
Yes! Next, she took it back.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah. Doing some time.
The next one, this might surprise you, is Allie.
What?
Huh? Oh. How about that?
Zayn Malik, speaking of teen idols, he's one of the members of One Direction. He's taking a leave of absence from the group. One Direction is performing concerts in Manila and Jakarta without him.
Can they go on without him?
It's insane to think about it.
Because his name is Zayn.
Huh. Would you like to take that back?
Wow, that stings. That hurts even now.
Right?
That's real bad.
Even
right
would
now.
You like to take that back?
I will.
Good
take that
for you.
Back.
There you go,
yeah.
Too.
You're
uh-huh.
learning.
All right,
yeah.
The next one is Allie.
Well, come on!
Stop it! Come on!
Now, Ralph, this story was about Octavia Spencer. She was reading a children's
book. She had written a children's book. She was doing a reading in a bookstore, and apparently she was... really had a bad attitude towards the staff and even the kids. She wouldn't autograph books for the kids. It was a bad scene. Octavia Spencer later called herself a hero.
Is that right?
Yeah, which I thought was strange. Maybe she, too, doesn't quite understand the definition. But.
I do like that she's bringing back the memory, though, of Randy Rhoads, because great guitarist.
Not the same.
And, not
no.
the same.
No?
Different guy.
R-A-N-D-I, Randy Rhoads. She's a female little girl ninja detective.
I apologize.
So again,
Allie, I hate to do this to you again. We all thought the same joke and then didn't
no
say
it. No one did it? No?
No one else said it.
Oh, that was out loud.
I appreciate you once again reaching back into the...
to the Ozzy Osbourne band of the 70s.
The annals of classic rock for a joke that no one really gets.
You're welcome.
Would you like to take that back?
I like to keep current, and
do you?
Yeah, I
hard
think,
to tell from your references.
Clearly, I think maybe some people Googled Randy Rhoads after that and thought that I have been missing out on this.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. For
wow.
You. Good
move. The next one is me, Kevin.
What?
Kevin also said Seinfeld, which I co-signed because it seems to be on all the time on all the channels.
Wrong, sir.
You
no.
co-Seinfeld did it.
How about
file?
How about Cops?
Wait, stop! Time out!
Can I
don't
take
run
it back?
Over that.
Can't I just
file.
Take it back now?
No, you co-Seinfelded that. He said. Did you hear him, Bean?
No.
Did you
I guess
choose
I didn't.
Just to
I
go
must
past
have missed
that?
It. I must have missed it. I'm sorry.
You said co-signed, and he said you co-Seinfelded it.
Good.
You son of a bitch!
I like it, Kevin.
Would you like to take that back?
I was going to say no, but if Allie likes it.
Oh, come on.
I think I got to go yes.
Yeah.
You know, my standing policy is take it all back.
Yes. That's what you should.
Here's Ralph Garman.
No.
Yeah,
that's not
this
possible.
Is Ralph Garman. And listen to this.
Well, I guess he can still start the fire. Billy Joel announced yesterday that his girlfriend is expecting a baby this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was Billy Joel, I'd be scared that your girlfriend is that much younger because only the good die young. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She's got a way, I'm sure, about her. I'm sure she's always a woman to Billy, but I'm just saying, you know, you think you know someone. It turns out they're the stranger. You don't know. And now he's going to have a child with her? Well, you can say goodbye to Hollywood, Billy, because you're going to be stuck there in New York for some time in that New York state of mind. You're going to be there raising that kid. You think you're a big shot?
Come on.
You may
that
be right.
Bullshit.
Don't ask me why. It's a lot of pressure when you're a dad, and she may be an uptown girl, but for the longest time, you're going to be raising that kid, and you're going to have to tell her about it someday.
What the hell?
You and her mom got together. I know you're only human, but honesty. It's the only advice I can give you.
Billy Joel song title.
Standing Ovation!
No one said standing. You can't say standing O for yourself, can you?
Well, if no one else is going to, who will? Would you like to
take that back? Hell no.
Yeah!
That's the right decision.
That was the right decision. That was outstanding.
That was pretty strong. And next and last, we have Allie. No bean. Zero bean take back.
Bean invented this segment. How is he not in this segment?
Allie came in and she's tried
out by the younger, hotter model,
she
I think.
Bean.
Yep.
She bean is taking over.
She's going after the title. We were talking about people dressing their pets up.
What about this? A listener, Ann, writes in and wants to know, how about bandanas on dogs? I say no as well. I say there's no reason for a dog to wear a bandana. That's not a costume, but it's also completely unnecessary.
The bandana
right?
is sort of collar-esque, and I do believe in collars, so at least that's not that far off the beam.
And they love poison.
Oh, wow.
The band, I hope you're saying.
How do you feel about that being the last joke you ever got to make on this show, Allie?
Would you like to take that back? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that happened.
Right?
Wow, because Brett Michaels, he was...
We understand.
It's like being told what you did when you were drunk the next day, isn't it?
It's like reading your text messages. Yeah. And you're like, would you like to take that back? Yes.
Harsh reality.
Harsh
reality of the day. Would you like to take that back? It is 7:52.
We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome from KFWB AM 980 The Beast coming up right after the top of the hour. And then also next hour between 8 and 9, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015 in the front row. You'll have a chance to earn those coming up. Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Hey, Ralph.
Supergirl! Yep. CBS has picked up the Supergirl pilot. We're getting it. It's on!
Finally, somebody is doing something with comic book superheroes and putting them on TV.
Finally, we're going to have a TV show with a superhero in it. We live in a golden age. There's superheroes all over our TV screens. There's superheroes all over our movie screens.
When you were a kid getting beaten up.
The geeks have inherited the earth!
When you were a kid getting beaten up because you love comics,
no
could you
one,
have ever...
sir, beat this geek up because I would run and hide.
Could you have ever imagined this would be the world?
No. Kevin Smith and I were talking about the other day that how we... all of our dreams have come true. We're probably not as... we probably would enjoy it more if we were still 12, but still, it's the next best thing to be in 12 right now.
But let me ask you this, Ralph. These properties, many of them, Supergirl included, have been around for decades. Why weren't they made successfully in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, 2000s? Why did it take until now?
Well, I'll have you know, Bean, that Supergirl was in fact made into a major motion picture back in the day. I believe it was...
But I said made successfully.
Early
80s. Yeah, there have been a lot of lame attempts at making these before, but why are they doing it right now is my question.
You're calling Helen Slater lame. because it's one of those things. Obviously, you know, the show business is a
fickle mistress?
No.
Oh?
It is a copycat business, you know?
Ah.
So once you have a little success with one type of genre... everyone starts jumping on board, and you get your best and your brightest working on these products, you know? There was a time where comic books, even with the success of Richard Donner's Superman movie back in the 70s, comic books were still looked down upon as sort of like low-rent fodder for B projects. And then now that it's being elevated into A-list material, you're getting A-list performers and writers and producers to work on these things, and they're just having great success with them. It is kind of silly that it took them this long to realize that comic books... as the superheroes are sort of the mythology of our modern society, and it makes for great, you know, pop culture media.
Who's the new Supergirl?
Her name is Melissa Benoist. She plays Kara Zor-El, Superman's cousin, and by all accounts, it's going to be great. By the way, Helen Slater, the original Supergirl, apparently also is going to be on the show, so it's very exciting.
When is this happening?
It's happening this fall. We'll see new Supergirl episodes on CBS. I wonder if they'll have crossovers with the CW shows because
that's a good question.
I think this is the same production team, but you know, different networks, of course. So I don't know if we'll get Superman visiting the Green Arrow and Flash anytime soon. Congratulations to Sofia Vergara. She's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning. 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. She'll be there along with her co-star Eric Stonestreet, Steve Levitan, executive producer of Modern Family.
Her star will be right next to that of her TV husband's, Ed O'Neill, on Hollywood Boulevard in front of Marshall's department store. So you can check that out. I'm sure this award has nothing to do with the fact that her movie Hot Pursuit with Reese Witherspoon opens tomorrow in theaters everywhere. I'm sure this is completely unrelated from that fact.
I haven't seen any of the reviews for that movie.
For Hot Pursuit?
Right. But it's
but
seems...
one is a straight-laced cop, Kevin, and the other is a wacky wife of a drug lord. They're a mixed match pair.
Oh, you look like Jose Bieber.
But they're forced to spend time together, Kevin.
It seems like people get a star on the Walk of Fame before a bad project.
How?
It seems like that's kind of regularly the thing. That's when they do it.
How dare you? Hot Pursuit! Hot Pursuit!
Sam.
You look like Justin Bieber. Because Reese Witherspoon had a small body.
Yeah.
Short hair in that moment. Right. All will be carved. Speaking of movies, Cinderella, Disney's live-action reboot of its animated classic. Cinderella is not a bitch. She's misunderstood. Just passed the $500 million mark at the global box office this week. $500 million for that movie. This Disney, they know what they're doing, don't they?
They sure do.
Maleficent, so far, has taken in almost $800 million. Alice in Wonderland pulled in over $1 billion globally. So you will see many more live-action remakes of Disney classic animated films, I'm predicting. And speaking of milestones, it's funny, you know, Cinderella's been out for, I don't know, 4 months? Just crossed $500 million?
Right.
The Avengers Age of Ultron just passed the $700 million mark globally today. And that's been out for 2 weeks. So it's well on its pace to best the original Avengers film, which made $1.5 billion. They're predicting this could make as much as $2 billion by the time it's all said and done. And speaking of Disney properties that make a lot of money, Kathleen Kennedy, Lucasfilm president, now owned, of course, by Disney, has announced that there is yet another Indiana Jones film in the works. Yes. Indiana Jones and the Putting Green of Doom, it's going to be called.
Oh, no.
Indiana Jones flying a World War II biplane.
On the eighth hole. My pelvis is crushed.
Actually, they're talking about rebooting the franchise with a new actor playing Indy.
Oh.
Would we accept another actor in the role of Indiana Jones? Would we?
Depends on who it is.
Would we?
Depends on who it is.
Would we?
I'm saying. I think I'm answering that.
Oh.
Weren't there rumors sometime back of Chris Pratt maybe?
There has been
that
talk about Chris Pratt, yeah.
I think he'd be an outstanding Indiana.
I don't know many other actors, actually, who could take over that role, but he is one. And me, of course.
Sure.
Me.
Yeah.
Don't forget me.
That was a given.
Well, I'm just saying. Guy wears a hat and a leather jacket, right? What am I wearing right now?
Well, you're wearing a hat and a leather jacket.
Boom! Magic! Movie magic!
I don't know that that's...
What about my whip?
Yeah. You don't have a... Stop pointing.
Right here.
Stop.
Right here.
We don't need to see.
Don't make me uncoil my whip.
Please don't.
I'm just saying. Hey, if you want to see me uncoil my whip, come see Hollywood Babylon tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. It's me. It's director, writer, movie maker Kevin Smith. We're side by side on stage together, and we make each other laugh, and hopefully you too. He's stoned. I'm drunk. It's an evening that you'll remember forever.
Nine!
Hitler won't come, but maybe you will. Go to improv.com.
No!
Click on Hollywood and buy your tickets for the show tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Me and Kevin Smith in Hollywood Babylon, where we make
fun
We make fun of show business and each other.
First of all, I don't know what that is. And second of all, no freaking way.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Brecken Meyer. We love Brecken.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's 41 years old today. Actress Tracy Lords. She started out in the adult movie business.
She went to high school.
No.
Oh.
She only made 3 movies, Kevin, after she was 18.
Right.
As far as we know. Then she became a mainstream actress as well. She's very talented, 47 years old today. You know, it's funny, I had a really pricey, thick, glossy, all-color Tracy Lords magazine.
Yeah.
When I was a young man. And I put it in a drawer someday and I kept it. It was a pricey thing back in the day when you would look at porn primarily in
on VHS and in books. And I found it not too long ago, years ago. But I realized when I owned, when I had it held in my hands, it's like I'm in ownership of basically what could be literally considered child pornography.
You absolutely would be arrested if somebody saw you with it.
Because it was manufactured before they realized that she was underage when she was working under a, under a false birth certificate. So I, in my hand, I was holding underage pornography in my hand, and I started to panic. I started to sweat.
What do I do with
it? What do I do with it? What do I do with it?
Like the FBI is going to just bust down your door?
You don't know, man. Big Brother's out there. He's watching. I was like, what do I do with this?
What did you do with it?
I destroyed it.
You're a liar.
I won't tell you how I destroyed it, but I destroyed it. Tracy Lords is 47 years old today.
I'm not fond of your gestures.
And stuntman Robbie Knievel celebrates his 53rd birthday today. Don't buy him a drink for his birthday. I suggest you stay away. Maybe some, maybe a Yoo-Hoo or a sugar-free iced tea. Maybe a Diet Snapple for Robbie.
No alcohol.
No alcohol. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every week, about this time, we catch up with our friend Jim Rome, of course, the host of the Jim Rome Show on AM 980 The Beast, formerly KFWB, also Jim Rome on Showtime. Mr. Rome, how are you, sir?
Fellas, good morning. Good morning. What's up? How are you guys?
We are good. What should we be allowed to do, and you shut up, Alan McKay, what should we be allowed to do with Tom Brady now that we know that he's a cheating, lying son of a bitch?
Whoa. Ouch. Wow. That's pretty harsh. Hey, quick thing. Is Sanchez going to hijack our segment this week like he did last week? I just need to know.
He is still in the studio, although his mic is not on. So I don't
know. I just want to make sure that I'm on with Kevin Bean and not Sanchez.
Yeah, get out, Sanchez.
I just need to know if I should tweet my appearances on The Sanchez Show. Right, you know, the thing about Tom Brady is, and Al, you're not having a good day, I don't think, and I know he's not. The Wells Report states it's, quote, more probable than not that Tom Brady was, quote, at least generally aware that those two scrubs deflated the game footballs. And assuming that nobody employed by the Pats would ever mess with Tom Brady's footballs without him knowing, we can go ahead and then say Brady is, quote, more probable than not a cheater and a liar. I agree.
In
bad
a court
look.
Of law,
bad,
though,
bad look.
In a court of law, more probable than not, generally you walk free. But this is not held to the same legal standards of reasonable doubt. So we're the NFL is just they're saying it's more likely than not that he did it. So what does that mean for the punishment?
Yeah, so what that means, more likely than not, if the NFL is saying more likely than not, what they're saying is he did it. You know, in terms of a court of law, you don't always need a murder weapon to convict. Just ask Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
They threw the book at him, and they never found a murder weapon there. So they don't have the smoking gun, but they've got a boatload of circumstantial evidence. In other words, again, they did it. He knew about it. And in terms of a penalty, that's where it gets really curious. For instance, you know, you've got Bob Kraft, who's really tight with Roger Goodell. So the entire league is going to watch the commissioner to see whether or not he comes down on the golden boy and also smashes his guy, Bob Kraft. I've seen people say it could be a 4-game suspension. I'm here to tell you that's not going to happen. There's no way he gets 4 games. But money's not enough. You've got to dock this guy at least a game and maybe two and maybe a draft pick and maybe some money. So they're going to smash him. They'll hit him. Not 4 games, but it's going to cost him at least a game and maybe two.
Are they going to come down harder on him than the team? On Tom Brady?
I think that both could get hit, but this looks like it's more of a Brady thing than a team thing. Like Spygate, definitely a team thing, a Belichick thing, an organizational thing, but they've already cleared pretty much ownership and the coach in this. It's sticking to Brady. It's all about Brady and those two scrubs. So if they come down the team, maybe in the way of a fine and maybe a draft pick, but I think it's going to cost him a game no matter what.
Now, there were a lot of people, Ali's people, Patriots fans, defending Tom Brady on Twitter yesterday, saying, look, clearly the guy has had a tremendous amount of success, even when the balls weren't deflated. Look at the Super Bowl, for instance. And other people were saying, yeah, but a cheater is a cheater. You know, you hit a lot of home runs before you were on the steroids, but once you use the steroids in baseball, that tarnishes your reputation. What does this do to Tom Brady's reputation overall for history's sake, do you
think? It's going to stick to him. It's a great question, but it's going to stick to him. It's going to stick to him. Look, no matter what, he's still going to get to rock one of those hideous yellow blazers that they give everybody who gets into the Hall of Fame. He's still an all-time great quarterback. This is not why they won the Super Bowl, but it's just a really bad look. I mean, the annoying thing is, why does a guy that good have to cheat? That's annoying in and of itself. And the fact that he then lied about it when confronted with it makes it even more annoying. But in terms of the Patriot fans, they don't care. They're going to love this guy no matter what. They'll have his back no matter what. Those who don't like him aren't going to like him, and those who do will, no matter what happens. But make no mistake, it's going to stick to him. And how much it sticks to him is going to depend on what the punishment is. I mean, if they do hammer him with four games, that's going to look really, really bad. But it's going to ding his legacy no matter what. It's just a bad
look. Al, you think it's possible that Coach Belichick didn't know about this?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Jim?
I agree with that. Yes. Okay. Yes. She's right. She's right. This is one thing that he probably did not know about. Just don't tell me the quarterback didn't know anything about it, because I mean, there's nothing more important to him than his football. So trust me, he knew about it. And then you've got all those text messages, right? How bad? These two dupes is texting back and forth and talking junk about Brady. And Brady, who couldn't care less about these two scrubs, and why would he? The second it hit the fan and it went down, all of a sudden he's bro-ing up with them. Like, hey, come to the quarterback room. Hey, you okay, buddy? Johnny, you all good, bro? So don't tell me he didn't know anything about it. I think the coach didn't, but I think the player did.
All right. Here's my last point on this, Jim. And tell me what the chances are that this is going to happen. Clearly, they cheated in the Indianapolis AFC Championship game. So let's vacate that, and then therefore they weren't eligible for the Super Bowl. And now the Seahawks win Super Bowl 49. Who's with me?
Nope.
Wow, man. Who's feeding you that crap? Sanchez? Hey, Sanchez, you do know you're not the Sanchez, right?
All right. So maybe that's
who's my boy Davis Sanchez?
What Davis, up, man? You're sticking around, Davis, because you know we're going to talk Clippers Rockets series all up at 1-1. What did you have for Jim today that you wanted to ask?
Well, Jim, I got to ask a question. Why does everyone hate Austin Rivers so much? The guy filled in pretty good for CP3 while he was out. Handled his own, played some defense, but yet, you know, he makes a couple mistakes, and everyone hates on him.
Bro, that is such a good question. That is such a good question. I've got a better one. Why are you talking to me and us, and why are you on the air still?
That Kevin is a better question.
Hey, Kevin, can you ask that question to Jim?
That's technically a better question. That round goes to Jim.
Yeah, I mean, if Kevin were to ask that question, it'd be a pretty good question. But hey, look, I mean, why do you guys hate? Why does anybody hate? Hater's going to hate. Because he's the coach's kid, and people don't understand why he brought his kid to his team, and nepotism never really feels that good. I like the guy. I think the kid's fearless. I think he's brass. He attacks the basket. And trust me, they've got some issues right now, and he's not one of them. And especially with Chris Paul down, they need him. But a great question, Kevin. Thank you.
In the second half, Houston managed to adjust things around to really tamp down Blake Griffin's effort. Would you be nervous if you're a Clippers fan going forward when it seems like Houston's maybe figured you out a little bit?
Well, right about now, I'd be much more nervous if I were a Rockets fan than a Clippers fan, honestly. Okay. I mean, they went in there and they got that game without Chris Paul, and they were up 13 in the third quarter. They could have stole both those games, and you're right, they made great adjustments. They took Blake Griffin out of it in the fourth quarter, and then the beard, remember that he was the beard and he took over. I think when they get back home, it's going to be a totally different deal when CP3 plays, as long as he can go and he's anywhere near what he normally is. So no, I would much rather be a Clipper fan right now than a Rocket fan.
Woo!
All right.
Thank you, Dave.
I'd rather be anybody but Sanchez right now.
The Jim Rome Show.
Dave, just playing, man.
It's all good, man.
Can I tell you, until I started appearing on this show, I never did anybody like that. It's a Kevin Bean thing, man.
Look,
I never, ever,
you're doing the
ever
right thing.
Would break, bust any chops or anything.
You're
really
doing the right thing.
We're Team Rome on this particular beef, by the way. Jim Rome is on at 9 o'clock
nice,
at AM 980 The Beast. Check it out. Look for him. Jim Rome on Showtime with new shows every week. Thanks for the time, sir. Do it again next week.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
All this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are hooking you up not only with tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Queenie Roasty Fiesta 2015, May 16th at Irvine Meadows, but tickets in the front row. That's to see AWOL Nation and Cold War Kids and Death Cab for Cutie and Florence and the Machine and Muse of Monsters and Men, Panic at the Disco, Walk the Moon, so much more. If you would like to go, we'll give you a chance to earn your way in. We're playing a game up next at 1-800-520-1060. You have to earn them, but you win your tickets in the front row. Call now. Good luck from K-Rock.
Have you seen this woman that is suing all homosexuals on in defense of God? Have you seen that?
I think she asks a very reasonable question, Kevin. She believes that gay people are violating God's constitutional rights. What's your problem with that?
I wasn't aware that God had constitutional rights.
Yes, she filed in court yesterday. The lawsuit is called Driscoll versus Homosexuals. And as I understand correctly, it's a class action lawsuit. She is suing every gay person on the planet for violating civil rights law. She is asking that gay people be required to appear in federal court to prove that it is not a sin to be homosexual. She says the stakes are as high as they can be. The way to destroy any nation. Yes.
Wait, it's not on them to prove that it's not a sin, is it? She's bringing the lawsuit, right?
That's right. Yes.
So she's doesn't she have to prove it?
She's asking them to prove it. That's right. Yes, exactly. She says the best way to destroy any state or nation is to destroy its morals. Look what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, she says, in her handwritten lawsuit that she turned in yesterday. Like, what? Look, I get that she's backwards thinking on this issue. But what gets her riled up to the point where she is going to go down to a courtroom and file a handwritten lawsuit? How does it go to that level, I wonder?
I don't know. That is odd.
She's a 60-year-old woman, by the way, who filed this lawsuit yesterday. We couldn't get her on the phone because she is only speaking through her attorney. Attorney at law Bobby Ray Simcox joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Simcox. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you today?
We are good.
I'm glad to hear that.
We're a tiny bit confused about Ms. Driscoll's lawsuit. I'm sure that you can shed some light on it for us.
I'm sure you are confused, probably in many ways. This just being one of them.
Okay. But she's suing every gay person on the planet. That has to be millions of people.
First of all, let me correct you by saying that we are filing this legal action in the United States District Court of Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
So obviously we're just suing every gay in America right now.
Oh. Okay. And that, all right. That
then
makes...
when we get to the world court, then we can take on the other homosexuals abroad, if you will.
How do you prove, sir, that homosexuality is a sin?
Ha ha! Good question. How do you prove it's not?
That's not how the court system works, though.
No, it's not at all.
It doesn't work that way.
Where's your legal degree from, sir? I would ask you that question.
Well, I don't have one, but I think that's common knowledge.
Dismissed.
You're not a judge.
Look, we've all seen Law and Order. We know the basics.
You have answered the question. Please step down.
What are we stepping down from? We're just guys on a phone.
Wherever you are, step down from where that is.
Okay.
So,
Mr. Simcox.
Now, listen, you pipe down, radio
Okay,
boy.
Sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Let me explain the situation. We are not suing, of course, on our own behalf, but on behalf of God and Jesus. They are our clients. Huh. And sadly, because of that, I need to work pro bono because God and Jesus don't seem to want to pay me.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I will represent them in court, and they will have their day that their constitutional rights have been flagrantly violated, sir.
Do God and Jesus have constitutional rights?
Oh, you would deny them their rights. Now I understand how you work, communist.
This isn't about communism at all.
Objection, Your Honor. Communist.
That we're not in court.
Stand down.
Okay, Mr. Simcox.
Habeas corpus. Present the corpse.
But God and Jesus are not people who are alive today to have constitutional rights.
Oh, I see. God is dead. Is that your position?
No,
sir?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying...
Objection. Overruled.
No.
Sit down.
I think this trial's going to go great.
Because of the trial, I'm currently undergoing discovery. I would like homosexuals to present themselves and prove to me that it does not feel good when they touch me in my special place. I am going to be opening up my legal briefs.
Okay.
And I will be habeas corpusing all over the place.
I see.
Down at a bar called The Zone.
Just office hours? They just come on by and just look for you at the counter?
Come to me. I'll come to them. I am a diligent legal officer, sir. I'll go anywhere to do my due diligence and to prove that gay guys are not having a good time.
Uh-huh. And they're not even pretty, right? They're not even good to look at.
Well, some of them, boy, I tell you, the body's on some of them. But other ones, no. It all depends. I'm not a bear guy myself. I like the otters. What? Did I say that?
Yes,
objection. Overruled. Sit down.
This is a disaster. Get Weird Al back in here. Back when the show was good.
He wouldn't come in here.
How many times have we done this game?
Lots.
50? Lots. Yeah. 50 times.
Easily.
We still don't know the rules.
We still have no idea how it works.
All right.
Chip right
now. Here's what we do know. The sold-out KROQ Weenie Roast Fiesta 2015 is fast approaching. It is a week from Saturday, 9 days from now at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. We're giving away tickets in the front row right now with a game that we like to call, because that's the name of the game, Title Fight.
Presenting
final fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
So it's Ralph versus Dave, the King of Mexico today? Is that are those the competitors on the field here?
We are the combatants in
yes,
the ring.
So we got the challenger, Ralph Garman, against the champ, Dave.
When are you? Why are you the champ?
He's never. Not. He just Dave just makes stuff up.
Why don't you explain the game as best you remember it to our contestants on hold, please?
All right. Listen. We have, each of us, Dave and I, have the names of five bands who are playing the 2015 K-Rock Winnie Roasty Fiesta.
They don't know which bands they have, and they won't know until just before.
Until we open up these envelopes and look at them. Okay. We've got a list of five. We will try, to the best of our ability, to describe the names of these bands to you without using any of the words in the name of the band or by naming titles of songs or anything like that. We have to describe the actual words in the name to you.
Gotcha.
We have, what, 40 seconds to do this in?
45.
45
seconds. I think it's 45 on the clock.
We've got five, and whoever gets the most titles correct wins the round. Now, if, in case of a tie.
Yes, now this is where we get confused. What happens in the case of a
both
tie?
Dave's contestant and my contestant both name all five before the 45 seconds runs out. We have one title set aside, one name of a band set aside, and each of us will try to give that to our contestant.
I'm pretty sure that we...
Whoever does that in the shortest amount of time wins.
That is correct.
That is correct.
I don't think that's correct, and here's why. Because if both contestants get all five right, we go by the time
who got it the fastest.
No! That's right.
I think that's how we've always done it.
No, and that's always been incorrect. It's round one, you get the first five. And then if we both get them right, which is rarely the case, by the way.
So if one of you gets it in 20 seconds, the other in 40, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You've gotten all the titles in the allotted time. Then it goes
like
on
it.
To the tiebreaker round, which whoever gets that one particular clue in the shortest amount of time is the winner.
All right, let's go with that.
I'm distancing myself from this game.
Let's just go with that because we need to move ahead.
Okay.
All right. Let's meet our first contestant.
You don't penalize someone for being good by getting all five titles in 30 seconds because the other guy did it in 20 seconds.
Yes, you should reward the person who does it faster by making them the winner.
We're not doing that, Ralph. That's not what we're doing.
We reward them with the bonus round. If they get that one faster, then they get it.
Boom.
Let's go to Taylor in Sherman Oaks. He's up first. He's on line one. Now, he's going to be playing the game first, which puts him at a little bit of a disadvantage because he doesn't get to sit back and listen to the other contestant go first. But because of that, we give him his choice of partners. So you can either choose Ralph Garman or Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, to play with you. What do you think, Taylor?
I'm going to take Ralph.
All right, Taylor.
Smart choice.
Now, we have 45 seconds. I'll be describing five names of bands. If you get absolutely stumped and you can't even have a clue, say pass. We'll move on to that. We'll come back if there's time left at the end of the round, okay?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Good luck. Here we go.
Not the Sun, but the...
James Bay.
The other thing, not the Sun, but what's
in
the sky?
Okay.
Children are also known as little...
Cold War Kids.
Okay. Not an ocean, but another body of water.
James Bay.
Okay. I Go Here to Dance. It's got a light above it.
Panic
the mirrors.
At the Disco.
Yeah, not high, but...
All Time Low.
There we go.
Boom! 25 seconds.
Ooh, that's
not
good.
That it matters. Not that that matters at all.
No.
Okay.
Well done. I felt that Taylor was started off slow, but then
when he
got
James Bay,
picked up steam,
and then he was fine. All right, so congratulations. You are still in the running to be America's Next Top Model. Let's move on to our next contestant.
That's the game at all.
I'm not sure what we're giving away. Let's go to Alex. He's up next. He's on line four from Culver City.
All right, you ready, Alex?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do this. All right, and if she's really hot, what else will we call her?
A muse.
Nope. If someone's hot, it's a girl. You take these around New York?
Big.
Come on. You're not alive, but, you know, it's another...
Muse?
All right, let's pass. These are scary, and they're women.
Of Monsters of Men.
All right. This is information on your computer.
Big data.
All right. Oh, crap. You rage against
the
these?
First one.
You rage against these?
Florence and the Machine.
All right. You stay at this place?
Saint Motel.
All right.
Oh my God.
Did he get all five of them?
No, he did not.
No.
Oh. He got four.
So fortunately, no one should announce what happened then, because I was confused.
No tiebreaker for us today.
No
the
tiebreaker.
One that you missed, and Dave was giving you as many bad clues as he
that
could.
That was terrible.
Yeah. Death Cab for Cutie.
I'm sorry.
Is
New York? Wow. You take these around New York?
Yeah.
How about another word for taxi?
He's first you started with...
a girl.
Pretty
girl.
Girl.
Pretty. Hot. If she's hot.
If she's hot.
You're saying you know, you're cutie. You say this to her?
You're cutie. And then he said, come on.
Alex, I'm sorry you got stuck with Dave.
The champ,
partner,
the
but
champ,
that means
the champ.
You go to Taylor
my
Sherman
rotator
Oaks.
Cuff is broken.
Taylor and Ralph, congratulations. Both of you guys are going to the K-Rock Weenie Rose Fiesta 2015. Thanks for playing, Taylor.
Well done, Taylor.
Awesome.
Can I get a rematch?
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Oh, yeah!
Allie McKay, I know we're all frightened that she's a she-bean. She feels like she's going to faint.
It was weird. It came on
she's
a little while
hanging
ago.
On today.
No, it was odd, and I didn't even want to say anything because I thought, my God, I am She-Bean. But I went and got... Yeah.
No, Allie, get up!
Nope, I'm 60. Who's 62? I'm fine.
Do you have a low blood sugar thing like I do, or no?
I have very low blood pressure.
And
so
blood pressure, too, right?
If yeah. I get up too quick, I do feel a little faint, but I was... Now I'm going to sound like She-Bean.
You're
I was sitting here, and it...
Wow.
Wow. I just got some peanuts, so I should be fine. Just
peanuts?
I got some penis.
I just want to make sure I heard what
yeah,
I heard.
Yeah, I got some
all
peanuts.
Right. So we're just trying to make it through to the end
yeah,
of the show.
Yeah, about some sugar? You want some sugar? You want like a real soda? You want a real Dr. Pepper or something? Would that
maybe
help?
Maybe real sugar is
yeah,
good.
You need a little real sugar.
Someone bring me a lifesaver.
A little less Splenda in your bloodstream. A little more God's given nectar.
Hey,
I got some of God's nectar for
Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Nobody needs that visual, Ralph. Nobody.
Correct.
I'm talking about sugar. God's
time
nectar.
For the sugar's beat.
God's sweet, sweet nectar. Real sugar, too. Don't give me that any of that damn corn syrup. Give me some sugar right from the cane. Let me suck on that sugar cane. That's what I want.
Okay.
That's right. Who's with me? Mm-hmm. What happened to you guys?
We're here,
buddy.
Oh, no, we're here.
Hi.
We just don't like where this is going.
All morning long, I've been bringing you news about canceled shows, renewed shows.
Yeah, you're breaking
good
some
news,
hearts today,
bad
Ralph.
Bad news. We talked this morning about the Mindy Project being booted from Fox, but maybe picked up by Hulu. So it's not over yet.
I don't watch that show, but I like Mindy Kaling, and I think she's talented. Well,
how does that help the conversation at all?
Right. How does that matter, then, about the Mindy Project, one way or the other?
Have you
announced, I don't watch that show, I've lost interest in your opinion.
Okay. I can see that.
We mentioned that...
This is why you fail.
Orphan Black was picked up for a fourth
yes.
season by BBC America.
And that's a big
news.
Yes. That's a big Stephen pile of yes, right?
Yeah. I've mentioned the Supergirl got picked up by CBS. We talked about that. Right. And now comes news from the CW network that iZombie has been renewed for a second
awesome.
Season.
Awesome.
Very happy. I love that show. I love Rob Thomas. I love Rose McIver. I love everyone connected
I
to
love
that
show as well.
Program. So there's mostly good TV news today, I'm happy to say. Oculus, virtual reality, coming to us early next year. We now have a date when we'll be able to put on the virtual reality headset and disappear inside our computers. We live in exciting times, people. If you're just a brain in a jar. The company was purchased by Facebook last year for $2 billion with a B dollars, and the headset is still in development.
Hasn't it been in development now for...
Yes.
10 years?
Some time. Now, there's a rival helmet company called the Vive, and that'll be out first. That'll be out before Christmas of this year. And that also works through a PC rather than a gaming console. But Sony's Morpheus helmet apparently is designed to be paired with its PlayStation 4 console, so that'll give you virtual reality specifically for the PlayStation 4. So, there's a lot of virtual reality in our future. Ali just sent me an email moments ago. We said there's going to be a virtual reality theme park, right?
Yeah, The Void.
The Void.
Looks amazing.
Where you can go with your friends and you go on virtual rides all day long.
But you're not going on rides.
Oh,
you feel
or
like
are
you are,
Kevin?
Plus, it's not hot and people aren't sweat. Well, people might be sweaty.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I don't get
hot.
Sunburned.
Right.
That's true.
That'll be good.
Yep.
It's been very rarely do I go to a theme park and not walk away sunburned. Now, on the downside, there's probably no churros in The Void. But what are you going to do? Sometimes you got to give to get.
Yeah, that's true.
It's complicated.
Tom Cruise, is he taking a fourth stab at wedded bliss? Looks like he's hot and heavy with a young lady named Roberta Armani. That name sounds familiar. Yes, she is the niece of designer Giorgio Armani. Word is they've been good friends for some time, and maybe it's time to take their relationship to the next level, she said from the inside of a cruise tanker ship chained to the wall while being indoctrinated. Fourth? Is that would that be his fourth? I'm trying to think.
I think so.
Mimi Rogers, right? Nicole Kidman. Katie Holmes. Yeah, would be his fourth. Yeah. Maybe he's not meant to be married. Maybe that's not his thing. Is that a possibility?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think. I would think after three, you might get that opinion.
I would think so too. Miley Cyrus has decided to found an organization to help out young people who are homeless, LGBT, or just simply in need of help. You know, I'm no Miley Cyrus fan, but this sounds like a cool organization. She's putting together a charity with the help of some friends like Joan Jett and Ariana Grande. She's asking others to get involved. She's going to do a series of backyard sessions on Facebook that will feature exclusive live performances to bring awareness to this new foundation. Joan Jett did the first one with Miley. It's up on Facebook now. The organization is called the Happy Hippie Foundation. Okay, now I'm out. Now I don't care about those young people. Sadly, they've signed up to a poorly named charity. I don't want to help the Happy Hippie Foundation. But I'm already smelling patchouli and seeing no shoes.
But you like the charity. You
I
like
do
it
like the charity
before
until
the
I found out it was named the Happy Hippie Foundation. What are we going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll just call it the HHF for now. How about that?
I'm like sticking out my tongue a lot and stuff like that. And like dancing with teddy bears and stuff like that. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
You know, music news. Glastonbury. When I say Glastonbury, you think Coachella, but in the UK. Glastonbury is a big, big deal over there in England every year.
And it's 3 days as well? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was over there in the UK during Glastonbury last year, and boy, just everywhere you turn and look, that's all everybody was talking about. It's a phenomenal event, and they've got a great lineup this year. Foo Fighters go on last on Friday night. That's pretty cool.
It's a way to kick it off.
Paul Weller will be there Sunday. Kanye West on Saturday. A lot of people are unhappy about that, by the way. But The Who now has been announced will close out both Saturday and Sunday nights. Or those two guys who used to be in there.
Right. The two remaining members.
The guy who can't sing really more and the one who can't hear. Those guys will be closing out your music festival. Come on, UK, you're better than that.
I just remember however many years ago it was that The Who played the Super Bowl halftime show. I just remember thinking how completely irrelevant and out of touch that seemed to me.
Yeah.
The Who, like who, no cares? Pun intended, who cares? Yeah. Not to take anything away from their phenomenal records in the 1970s. They're one of the great bands of all time, but they're so far past that now.
And once you lose half your band, you're not the band anymore, in my opinion.
Right.
There should be a three-quarters rule with bands.
It's a good idea.
But if you lose half the band, you're not who. You're who's left.
Right.
We don't like that.
Yeah. But I bet, I'm sure there were those who argued that who cares about AC/DC at Coachella, but then the folks that were out there seemed to have a good time when they played. So who knows? Maybe this will go over big, too.
Come see me and Kevin Smith tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose. We're bringing back Hollywood Babylon. It's been almost a month since we've done this show. But due to popular demand...
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife demands I get out of the house. Go do a show.
Don't you have a show to do?
So I'm going out tomorrow night at 10 p.m. over to the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I take on Hollywood and the powers that be. You can go to improv.com to get more information and get your tickets. Come on out. We have a good time. I think you'll enjoy it.
Is it too late to say no?
Yes. Sadly, it is. Today's celebrity birthday is Breckin Meyer's 41 years old today. Adult film actress turned legit actress Tracy Lords is 47 years old. Remember her in Crybaby? She was good in Crybaby.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Then she was a regular on Melrose Place, if
That's
I recall.
That's right,
for a while.
Yes. Wonder what she's doing today. Wonder what's in her fridge.
We should do a feature like that. That's a good idea.
And the captain, stuntman Robbie Knievel, celebrates his 53rd birthday on today, May 7th.
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
Turns out it was Captain Morgan. Turns out that's a captain he serves. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum behind the wheel. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There are a ton of different ways for you to get in touch with the show. Of course, the Kevin and Bean Facebook page is up and running. We've got a Kevin and Bean page on KROQ.com. You can always tweet to us here at the show, send us an email, or you can leave us a voicemail message 24 hours a day, particularly if you are a Ducks fan or are excited about this road to the Stanley Cup final.
We don't need to encourage.
I'm just saying, feel free to call and leave some encouraging words about the Ducks, because Kevin enjoys going through those. The number is 323-520-AFRO, but you're welcome to leave a message on any subject. What's up for today?
Quack. 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 Hi, Kevin. Corey Perry loves you.
You can't.
What?
Wow. You can't say the F word.
When did that?
That's been the rule as long as we've been in radio, maybe before.
Chip, you effed us. You effed us right in the You tweeted at us and told us to call here to mock Kevin, but then we lost in overtime.
Mm.
Jinx! F you, Chip, and F you, Kevin. Go Ducks.
Go Ducks indeed.
Does that hurt, Chip?
No, I'm good.
You okay? All right.
That's our usual.
Hey, Kevin, do you like the Ducks? Do you watch all the time?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you common. A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time. Him.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Was that the first ever moment with Kevin that was made?
I don't know.
It might.
It was one of the early ones.
It's definitely on the Mount Rushmore of moments with. There's no question about that. But I'm wondering if that was first.
I'm all four heads on the Mount Rushmore of moments with, though, right? That's me? It's all me?
Probably so, yeah.
Today we salute you, Mr. Anaheim Ducks bandwagon jumper. Mr. Anaheim Ducks bandwagon jumper! Sure, you were a Kings fan a few weeks ago, but they didn't make the playoffs, and somebody decided to throw on an orange jersey and go in a different direction. Eat a d***, you disloyal fan! So the next time you're sitting in the Anaheim pond and that stupid duck fart blows after they manage a goal, just remember one thing. You will not be welcome back to Staples Center next season. You are excluded from the VIP box. Mr. Anaheim Ducks bandwagon jumper.
Very strong, by the way.
Nice. I've had a lot of conversations with Ducks fans on Twitter and email, and that doesn't exist.
I don't believe it.
People who say that don't know anything about hockey.
Mm-mm.
Or the fans in Southern California.
Yeah, you don't switch teams.
Ducks fans do not root for the Kings when they're out. Kings fans do not root for the Ducks when they're out. That's just the way it goes. It's getting painful.
I feel like I should be praying to Mecca about now.
Clippers!
Yay!
Adam Sandler comes in after they lose a game.
Adam Sandler called.
I like listening to Ralph Garman on the Kevin and Bean Morning Show. Ooh.
Well done.
Dean, why don't we do live broadcasts for drinking holidays anymore? Is there a person that you could pin that on?
Well, thank you for asking, Kevin. We had a long tradition of being out on the road oftentimes for things like Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day until the boss one day heard DJ Omar Khan practically wreck the broadcast with how drunk he got and how bad he made the show, and he forbade us from broadcasting live on those events.
No Cinco de Mayo remote broadcast? Thanks, Obamar.
That was pretty strong, right? Allie, this is for you.
Hey, Allie, what's up, girl? Let me get that booty. Oh, girl. Come on, girl.
How do you resist?
You don't?
I'm Stephen Hawking, and I'm healthier than Dean.
That just hurts, and it's probably true.
George Takei?
When Bill Shatner weighs himself on a scale, he makes the needle go where no needle has gone before. Oh, my.
Got a give him credit for the sell, right?
Sure.
He's all over
it. Many Star Trek fans will ask me, which of the Star Trek films is my favorite? That's easy. Kill Bill.
That right there is what the Afro line is made for.
And unfortunately, this.
Hey, I really think that we should bring Kevining back, but I can't remember how to do it. If only there was a jingle that would remind me what I'm supposed to do.
Hey, boys and girls! Have you heard about the new sensation that's sweeping the nation? It's called Kevining, and I'm going to show you how. Well, first you have to think like a Kevin. Think like IQ minus 11. You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! Then you have to get a stupid goofy face and make sure you stare into outer space. You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! Then two thumbs up, and this is no joke. To finish it off, have a stroke! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining!
I just had a stroke, don't mock me. 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day if you'd like to leave a message or not. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 940.
Excuse me.
Ralph Graber just walked in.
What? Huh?
Excuse me.
It's time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Thursday.
Adam Levine is going into Jimmy Kimmel Live on Wednesday when he got sugared. Because he sings a song that's sugar. And then they're about sugar.
What's happening?
Some guy threw a bunch of powdered sugar all over Adam Levine outside the studio before he went in to perform.
Did that guy then say,
let's give some love to Maroon 5?
I don't believe he did. Okay. Security quickly jumped him, and he was arrested for battery. And Adam Levine was pissed.
What was the motivation? Do we know?
No one knows. But he was, ironically, going on Kimmel to perform the song Sugar.
Yes.
No word on why he was sugared. Kim Kardashian was attacked on a red carpet by an anti-fur protester recently.
And you hate those protesters. You hate PETA for the most part.
But they don't think this was the cause. They're not sure why anyone did it. I was going to say, that one had someone claimed the reasoning behind that one. No one has claimed why they would want to douse dreamy Adam Levine with sugar. Unless it was maybe to lick it off him. Yeah. Speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, he will not be doing a television program on May the 20th, he wants everyone to know. Why? Because that is the final episode of The Late Show with David Letterman.
Is that right?
And Jimmy says, in the quote, I have too much respect for Dave to do anything that would distract viewers from watching his final show. He said, according to the New York Times. Plus, I'll probably be crying all day, which makes it hard to work, he said. As you know, Jimmy is maybe the biggest Letterman fan there is.
Yeah. He had a license plate that said late night when he was a teenager.
Yeah. So, Jimmy Fallon and Conan will air original shows that night. While Comedy Central has The Daily Show and The Nightly Show in reruns that day. So some late night shows will be competing. Jimmy, however, won't.
That's a very classy move, by the way.
That's a very nice move.
I can't compete. Oh, my ratings aren't going to be good. So I'm just not going to do a show. What a pussy. More TV news. We've been talking all morning about what's been canceled, what's been picked up. Supergirl got picked up. Orphan Black got picked up for another season. iZombie got picked up for a second season. The Mindy Project has been canceled by Fox, but maybe picked up by Hulu. Still waiting to hear about damn Agent Carter, by the way. Damn it. With all the dams I can muster. Damn, damn, damn.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., by the way.
Yeah, but that's pretty much that's a foregone conclusion.
That sort of hasn't been announced yet, but is a given.
Yeah, it's sort of a given that's going to happen. But Agent Carter is legitimately on the bubble, and I would like to see that continue. Not only because they employ me from time to time, but I really enjoyed that show.
Yeah.
And I love me some...
Ralph Garman.
Haley Atwell. Oh, right. Yes, I love me some him, too, but I also love her.
It's Bobby!
Speaking of... Bobby, it wasn't Bobby. I was announcer man.
All right.
Speaking
it's the only
of
jingle I have, Rob.
Things Marvel. Well, we need some more jingles for low my many bit parts that I've done over the years. Speaking of things Marvel, the Avengers, congratulations. Looks like they are crossing the $700 million mark. That's how much they've made globally so far with Age of Ultron.
Which just came out.
A couple weeks ago overseas and this past weekend.
A week ago here, yeah.
Here. Not even a full week yet.
That's pretty good.
It almost surely will top all worldwide grosses eventually. It'll be the biggest money-making movie of all time, they're speculating. So, good for them. And Cinderella has made over $500 million internationally. So, it's a good time to be holder of Disney stock, I would say. They're doing well.
That's true.
Chris Brown...
guilty.
Yes, so much guilty. But he got home Wednesday night from Vegas, and he entered his home and found a naked woman in his bed. You know, like you do.
Huh.
Here's the thing. He didn't know who she was. So he had to call the cops, and they hauled her away.
Can you imagine the delusion involved in breaking into a celebrity's house, A, and B, waiting there in their bed naked for that person to come home and think that it's going to work out?
Apparently, she had been there for some time. She's 21 years old. Police found dishes and in the sink and discarded food, so she had been living there for a few days waiting for him to come home. She spray-painted on his kitchen counter, "I love you," and on his Range Rover... she spray-painted the words, "Mrs. Brown." First of all, you're not...
Don't say it, Ralph. Don't say it. Do not say it. We just cleared out the file. It's clean. Please don't. I'm begging you. Put the needle down.
All right.
Be a pussy, Ralph.
He's right. It was awful.
All right. Do you know what I was going for?
Do you have any guesses?
Yes, I know what you were going for.
Tell me what you think it was.
I don't know about Mrs. Brown, but I know she's got a lovely daughter. Right?
Damn you right to hell.
Damn you right to hell.
You're absolutely right.
Yay!
You don't think there's a big Hermit's crowd out there demanding that joke be made?
You know the answer
to
that.
My point is no.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely
when
daughter.
Bean is begging you to
I
not
can't
make
believe
a joke.
You talked me off the ledge.
Wow.
From
that. Usually, the ledge you don't want to be on.
Usually he's the guy yelling, "Jump!" from the street. Yeah. And then he was actually telling me to step down from that ledge, my friend.
It's a first.
Oh, no!
Nice! You just moved up to the 90s, ladies and gentlemen.
I zigged, and then I zagged. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robbie Knievel, the captain. He's a stuntman. His most recent stunt, he got behind the wheel with a fifth of booze in him. Asshole.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Hey! Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and Savior, man!
I think Jack Daniels is your Lord and Savior. He's 53 years old. Breckin Meyer, actor, extraordinaire, writer, comedian, owner of Garfield. He's all those things. 41 years old today.
And Tracy Lords, former adult film star, now actress in mainstream films. 47 years old. Still lovely as ever. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow on all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have the movie beat because it is Friday. We have a brand new internet roundup. There's a creator of an app that we're going to talk to called Card Block.
Oh, the Card Block. I love the Card Block.
Which will block all Kardashian news from coming to you in any way.
From your browser. We'll clean your browser of Kardashians.
That's pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Tickets in the front row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta and an hour with Brandon Flowers. Who's going to be here?
Excuse
Why did my voice go so high?
I don't know.
And performing live, that is at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.